In the reading today, the gospel reading from the prodigal son, last Sunday we read the same message, but we went right to the end of the first son. Father, forgive me. That's what he asks, and we stopped. And we talked about what does it mean for us when we are like that youngest son, to be people who are broken and sinful and have the nerve or the compassion on ourselves to say, I can forgive myself enough to go ask for forgiveness. And do any of you remember my bag from last week? You know, I've heard more about this bag this week than anything else I've ever talked about, I think. For those of you that were not here, I had a bag of rocks. And I talked about the things I've done in my life that haven't been so good. Some sinful things, some things that are brokenness. And taking those rocks and loading it into the bag. Some real hard stuff. And I put a brick in the bag. And talked about how we carry this around with us. Because we can't even let go of our own sinfulness sometimes. But where does this go? As you saw me take it off right before the service, it hangs on the cross. That's what our message says. Not that we're completely free of it. No, it's still ours. But we don't have to carry it ourselves. We can know forgiveness and move on with that. And not have to be burdened down so we can't live our lives fully in love and grace. In today's reading, we read the same part of the first son, but we get to the second son. And I wonder, chapter 2. What happens to the second son? And maybe he's got so much bitterness and anger and hurt because of what his dad did with his brother, or what his brother did to him, or because his brother was gone, that he's going to blow it all too, because he's got that anger and resentment and he can't let go of it. I wonder if he can dare forgive others as God has forgiven him. Today I want to talk about issues of forgiveness in our life. And how do we do that with those around us, not just ourselves? I think one of the hardest things for us to do is to truly forgive ourselves enough to move on in love and grace. But the second most hardest thing, and it may be close, is to forgive those that are close to us, who we trust, who sometimes feel like they have betrayed us. How do we dare let go of those things? How do we begin to forgive others around us? Last week, we talked about issues of the gut, you know? What are your sins? What's your, you know, what are the bag you're carrying around? And like I said, I heard it every place. I went to the rec center here, you know where the rec center is here on Bodie Road? I went there and I was working out. I saw a church member and I said, yeah, how are you doing? He said, well, I'm trying to bulk up because I've got a big bag of rocks to carry. Stuff. I don't want to, today it's not at that gut level in terms of what are you carrying. But I want us to be at a learning level. Learning about issues of sin and separation, and learning about issues of the importance of being those who try to reconcile ourselves to each other, to ourselves, and also those who reconcile and show forgiveness and mercy in this world. Because this world needs it, without a doubt. Behind me, you will see a bridge. Did you know that was a bridge? With no water running in it, I'm guessing you didn't know it was a bridge. Our 6:33 evening service, the worship team put this bridge together to teach about sin. They had a young man stand here last week at the evening service, and the cross of Jesus is on the other side. And they said, in the middle, these planks are like sins. When we sin, we are separated. We are separated from God. And we know when we hurt each other, what happens? We step back from each other. We are separated from each other. I also think when we sin, sometimes we even separate ourselves from ourselves. The living in the fullness of God's love and grace, being those people of joy and hope. We leave that on one side of the bridge and we're on the other because we don't know that love and forgiveness in our heart. And I wonder what it would mean for us to really take that sin and to fill in the bridge so we're able to cross over in fullness and love and reconciliation. So today I want to talk about how do we cross that bridge when there are issues of brokenness or sin or hurt or oppression or violence in our life. What do we do with that? How do we cross over? We know often if there is sin or brokenness or violence, the first thing that happens is justice, is it not? Call the police, right? And that's important. I'm not here to stand as a pastor preaching Jesus Christ to say that we should not have justice. That we're here to talk about fluffy stuff. That the real world isn't rough out there. We need justice. We need the police. We need the courts. We need to have that stuff because we need to have jails. I believe that. We all do. Justice is one way in which we come to terms with those things in our life. Secondly, not just justice, but there are also issues of retribution and restitution. Retribution, people ought to pay for what they do, correct? We have to be careful about it. The vengeance that we take on others, that can lead to serious issues. But the issue of paying for what we have done sometimes is real important. And the issue of restitution, making restitution for when we have hurt others or taken things from others, that's real important. We should not be fluffy about that. That helps reconciliation, retribution, restitution, and justice. However, if that's all we've got, I think that leaves us in the middle of the bridge. But we can't get there. Some, I know, I've worked with a number of people who have been hurt deeply, and they would like justice in their life. They would like restitution in their life. But the person who hurt them isn't on earth anymore. They're dead. How do you get justice and retribution from that? You do not. If that's all you've got, you're stuck with it. It's going to be a brokenness in your heart and in your soul the rest of your life. Christ, I think, passionately, compassionately teaches us in issues of mercy and forgiveness, not because we ought to be good and help those out there that do wrong things, although there's nothing wrong with that. Christ teaches that because he knows. If we don't have those issues of forgiveness and mercy and compassion in our heart, we hurt ourselves. And sometimes we can't even love ourselves because of the brokenness that's been perpetuated by others, and we let them keep hurting us because we can't let go. Many of you, those of you who have been here this series, you know I've been showing a DVD called The Power of Forgiveness. The DVD is going to be shown on PBS in late March and early April sometime. And we're going to have a special screening here on it, the whole DVD. I would really encourage you to come and see it, because it's really a powerful piece. But one of the professors who's in this DVD talks about issues of forgiveness. He teaches forgiveness in college. How do people forgive? What happens when they forgive? And what happens when they don't forgive? And this professor, he says, I'm very concerned about our youth and our children, especially those youth who are around 18 years old now. Because in 2001, they were 13. They were beginning their life as adults. They were beginning to form what they think and what they feel. And then 9/11, September 11th, 2001 hit. And they've lived their whole adult maturing life in the shadow of that event. And he says, all we have heard is language of justice and payback. We have not heard mercy and forgiveness. And I know you're thinking, Pastor, are you nuts or what? 9/11, and you have mentioned forgiveness in the same thought. I know I'm on real thin ice, and I probably got a hatchet and I'm chopping away. But I think it's so critical. We have that understanding that we need to have mercy and forgiveness and compassion, not for others, but for ourselves. For ourselves. For those that did what they did then, we need justice, without a doubt. For those who did what they did then, and those who do things like that, we need restitution, and they need to pay for it, no doubt. But if that's all we have, how can we make everybody pay for everything? How can we dare get restitution for what has happened? We can't. There's no way to atone for something as massive as that. But if we're stuck in the brokenness of it, where are we and what happens to us? If we do not teach our children, if we do not have ourselves the language of forgiveness and mercy, we're stuck on the bridge. We're stuck on the bridge. And I think it hurts our very soul and our very heart. The second thing that happens, if we don't dare have some kind of understanding of mercy and forgiveness and compassion within our families and within our communities and nations and even our world, where are we as a people? Because what would happen? Think about your relationships with those that you love. What if you had to pay for every little wrong thing you did in your relationships? Where would you be? I would be single someplace, right? My kids would have left me a long time ago, and I would have left them. If we have to pay for everything that we do, where would we be? If my wife and my kids did not have mercy on me every now and then, where would we be? The second thing, if we don't have that understanding of mercy and compassion, what happens within our communities? In the 1960s through the 1980s, in Northern Ireland, remember Northern Ireland? It's out of the news now for a good reason. I'm glad it's out of the news. In Northern Ireland, Protestant killed Catholic because they remembered and they needed justice. Catholic killed Protestant because they wanted retribution and restitution, and sometimes that's okay. But that went on and on and on. To finally, they said, we've had enough of that. How can we live in a different kind of way? I want to show you a little clip, a DVD from Northern Ireland. It's about students learning things in their class, learning about forgiveness and mercy. And some of this seems a little fluffy to me. It seems like that, because it's a little classroom, and there's a little girl that puts on glasses, and these are glasses of forgiveness, you know? You know, see people differently. Just put on the glasses, and you can forgive. We know that's not true, but when I think that's a fluffy thing, I think about what their parents and grandparents had to deal with. It's not a fluffy thing. Their grandparents killed each other, and they're trying to do things differently. So let's listen to what they have to do.
In the early years, we begin to teach the children the concepts of inherent worth, which is the idea that all people have worth, not because of where they live or how effective they are in their work, but rather they have worth because they are a member of the human family.
Okay, come here. Amy, do you need to tell us about a time when somebody hurt you?
Did you call me a stupid person and then punch me in the face?
And Rachel is your sister. She punched you in the face. So nothing.
And we do activities where, for example, they put on little glasses called forgiveness glasses. And they see the other person, the person who has caused the unfair hurt, with new eyes.
Can you now tell me one good thing you can say about your sister?
She's always there for me.
She's always there for you.
And they begin to see that that person is more than what they have done, that you can separate their offense from the person.
You see, now you don't see her.
The forgiveness curriculum is not only being used in Ligonier Primary School, but it's been embraced by the nearby St. Vincent de Paul Catholic School as a way to bring the two schools together around a common theme.
As we continue to move up through the grade levels, we add deeper concepts about forgiveness. For example, the children learn to seek forgiveness and they learn to receive forgiveness. So by offering forgiveness, seeking forgiveness, and receiving forgiveness, they complete the entire package, and that opens the door for reconciliation.
We tend to talk about justice far more often in every community that's been in turmoil, and we rarely talk about forgiveness and mercy. That's why we're here. Being persistent in asking the question, should we put mercy on the table for public, not private, but public discussion among educators, among peace workers, and among children within a community that has talked mostly justice?
Can mercy be on the table for us to discuss? Can forgiveness be on the table for us to discuss? You know, it looks like a nice, cute little school, right? But that first school with those little, with the little primary school, they've had two riots outside of that school about issues where they couldn't forgive each other. I mean, it's real for them. Yeah, I do love the Irish accents. Do you like that? And the little girl who said her, you know, her that must be a rough family. Her sister punched her in the face. Her sister's sitting right in front of her. And, you know, she's got to be dying. Her face has been seen all over the world. I punched my sister. There it is. Yeah. But can mercy and forgiveness be a public discussion for us? As I was looking at this and thinking about this and reading about issues of forgiveness and mercy in terms of our world, you know, in our schools here, in Schaumburg and Hoffman and all around here, there's something called character education. Did any of you have that? Did you know that? Character counts. I looked it up online. What are we teaching our kids in terms of character? And it's good stuff. Responsibility, honesty, you know, respect, all those things we should teach. I looked all a number of curriculums from without the United States. I asked a friend of mine that homeschools, could you send me your curriculum, what you do in terms of teaching character? And guess how many are teaching mercy? None. Guess how many even suggest forgiveness? None. Now, believe me, I'm not trying to be critical of the schools. I have to go home and live with a school teacher. And I wouldn't have thought of that. I never would. If I was designing a curriculum, I wouldn't have thought of it either. But isn't it a critical character issue for all of us? If we don't become conversant in the language of mercy and forgiveness, I dread what happens to our children and our youth and our community. Not because of the global things that happen like we have seen, but I wonder, if they're not conversant in the ways of forgiveness and mercy, what are their marriages going to be like? What are their workplaces going to be like? What are our communities going to be like? If we just can't have part of it. Justice and restitution, yes, but also mercy and forgiveness. So my question is, what are we holding on to that we need to hold on to it so severely? Sometimes I think, when we think about this bridge, often we think in terms of reconciliation, making it to the other side. We're not separated from each other. Sometimes it's us that's on both ends of this bridge. On this side is the person that I love to be. I feel love, and I feel goodness for everybody, and I want to help and do the ministry of Christ. On the other side, sometimes, I'm the one remembers those that hurt me. I'm the one that remembers the betrayal within the family. I'm the one that remembers and can see the plane flying into that. And let me tell you, I am angry and resentful. What does it mean for us, even in the realities of the world, to be people of hope and love and grace? And what do you want for your life? I want to show you one last clip before we have communion. It's an African-American pastor who's got good reason in our country with the issues of slavery, with all the things that we know about our history, has got good reason to be angry and bitter. But listen to what he says.
Take me, a black man. If I should spend all of my time talking about slavery, the Middle Passage, and what the system and oppressors have done for me or to me, I suspect that I might not live the quality of life that I ought to live. Even other peoples who have been the objects of mass exterminations, whether it's the Armenians, or whether it's the Jews, or whether it's Native Americans or black people. But at some point, there has to be the movement beyond the fixation that by my holding this in my mind, in some way, I am going to improve the situation or reverse the situation or show adequate atonement for the situation. These offenses can never be adequately atoned, even if we stayed up all night saying, I hate them, 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 and then get another group to pick up where you left off. It is not possible to achieve by vigilance in anger and revenge what the soul is longing for. The soul wishes peace.
It is not possible with a vigil of anger and revenge to get what we long for and what God wants for us. We can spend the next 8 years saying, 9/11, I hate him, I hate him, I hate him, I hate him, I hate him. And what's that going to do? And yet, don't we do that within our hearts? Not just with those massive issues, but even with each other. Let me tell you what they did to me. Let me tell you what they did to me. Let me tell you what they did to me. And we haven't freed ourselves from that. The gospel of Jesus Christ invites us as the oldest son to forgive those who have offended us, knowing it is not easy, but to live in the freedom of that, So your soul has the freedom to live in the fullness of love and grace. That's why we forgive. That's why we forgive. Following communion today, I'm going to add, this year I'm really into rocks. Did you know that? This year, after the communion today, I'm going to ask you, as we walk out the door, the ushers are going to give you a rock. And I want it to be something that you're resentful and unforgiving about. Now, it may not be a big thing. That's not the best place to start. It may not be a big brokenness in your life. You may not want to start there. But what's something you can't let go of, that you're resentful about, you can't forgive another person for? I want you to hold on to it. Hold on to it, and then when you get home, throw it someplace. Not where you run the lawnmower. That's dangerous. In the garden, in the flower bed, someplace. But no, you have let, it's still there for you. You can't forget it. But you can let go of it. You know, often we hold on to things for dear life. You know that expression? You hold that resentment and that anger. That's holding on for dear death. That's what you're holding on to. Is that what you want? Then dare to think it's possible that you can forgive others. Let's bow for prayer. Loving God, we thank you for the grace that you have shown us in Jesus Christ, the fact that we know forgiveness in him. But Lord, we ask that you work with our soul this day. Work with that rock we're going to receive. Help us grab it and hold on to it and put our anger and resentment into it. But Lord, help us be a first step in letting go, that we might not be burdened by what others have done to us, and give them still the power over us. So Lord, help us be a forgiving and a merciful people, that we might continue to grow in your ways of love and grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.